You're listening to the Sound Atlas.
Hey there, I'm Captain Dean with yet another episode recorded at Mellow Matt's Music and More, 1200 Small House Road. My guest is an amazing singer-songwriter that has been in the Bowling Green music scene for just a few years now. Sis, welcome to the Sound Atlas.
Hi, thank you so much for having me, Dean. Well,
thank you for being here. It is an honor to see you today. And actually, we've talked a little bit, but we've not met before.
No, yeah.
So
it is a little handshake.
Yes.
Over the mic. It's nice to meet you.
Thank you for being here again.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Before we started rolling, we were talking a little bit. And obviously, you've been involved in music and art.
Yeah.
So we'll just start with the obvious beginning question is, where are you from?
I am from Franklin, Kentucky, but I currently reside in Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Yes.
And
what got you into music?
Wow. I've been writing for like as long as I can remember. So I really think of like my own music more of as writing than I do of the music part of it.
Right.
Although that's obviously quite important.
But like, is it like, do you write poetry? Do you write lyrics? Or do you come up with songs? And
I actually like, I was talking to some friends about this like just yesterday actually, but I have a hard time making the distinction between poetry and lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because you have to have that music, you know, to set off for it to then turn into lyrics. Like it's poetry all the way through if you're like going to Venn diagram it, if that makes sense. But like, well, I'm bad at Venn diagrams, but basically, yeah, I consider it all poetry. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Growing up, when did you discover the talent for it or the knack for it, so to speak?
Well, I always just wrote stuff in my head, and I would kind of like sing little songs. I can't remember a lot of it, obviously, being really young, but I just listened to so much music on my dad's stereo.
Like what?
Oh, Joni Mitchell, a little bit. I know everybody says that. I didn't actually get really into her until like later on, but also the Moody Blues is probably the biggest influence even still. I listen to them all the time.
Had a nice record collection there.
Yeah, I love the Moody Blues. I like orchestral kind of dramatic sounding things, but also softer singer-songwriting.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah, so I started actually writing. I got into like the first instance I can remember is like getting one of my poems, I think it was in like third grade or something, into this like poetry anthology book. And that was like when like a lot of my teachers had told me for a long time, like, you're really good at writing, like you need to like practice this more. And I was like, whatever, like I don't really care, like it's fun. But I didn't really have, you know, much of an idea of like a direction with that. I just knew I liked it as a kid.
Yeah, so. You're a kid. You're just doing it because you enjoy doing it.
Yeah, yeah. I love the genuineness of that. I think it's important to attach onto those things.
But it kind of lit a spark, I guess, in a way.
Absolutely.
You made the connection. And when did you start playing instruments?
Yeah, it was, yeah, actually, weirdly, it was similarly like the same time frame. Probably like, that was probably like, I was 11 or 10 or something. But I really started, I think I got like, you know, one of those first act guitars for Christmas.
And that would be the modern equivalent of what my generation was Harmony.
Okay.
And like the Sears catalog stuff.
I have heard of
so
Harmony
like,
before.
So that was kind of coming to an end in the 80s. And then
yeah,
I would
early
say
90s.
In the 90s it was more the... The good brands started making more of off-brand, beginner-level stuff.
Yeah.
And then here comes First Act.
Yeah.
And kids and
busting
Toys
through
R
the
Us
doors.
Are like, oh, I don't want to play with toys anymore, but I want that guitar.
Yeah, I was definitely that kid. I didn't really like toys as a kid, and I have carried that on as an adult. I don't really like things a lot, like...
It was funny to see an electric guitar packaged in Walmart.
Yes,
I thought that was
I still think it's kind of icky. Like, not to like discourage anyone. Like, definitely, if that's what you want to.
But
like, start
it, I think
on,
it
like,
served the same purpose of what the early days of like the JCPenney and Sears catalogs would have with those Harmony brand guitars.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing,
like
just a different generation.
Like sparking that interest and like making it accessible to people. So that's definitely what it was for me. It was the accessibility of like what my parents could buy, and they knew nothing about music. Like no one in my family does music. Like I'm the only person.
You're the first.
Black sheep, as they say. But yeah, so I started on that. And then a couple years later, I had saved up like for 2 years or whatever just to get like a little Epiphone acoustic, but I loved it. Then it got stolen like a few years later, and then I couldn't get another one until college, like financially wise. So
now, Epiphone acoustics are really nice.
It was beautiful. His name was Keegan. Rip.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, if the Beatles owned it and used
then
it's obviously a pretty good brand.
Yeah, somebody did tell me that. Well, yeah, so I played on that. And so I really, before I got back into college, musically wise, other than singing, which I'll touch on that too, but which I believe to be my strong suit over playing instruments, I still feel like very, like, you know, beginner. As a musician, or as a musician, I feel a lot stronger as a vocalist versus an instrumentalist for sure. But so I didn't continue on guitar after it was stolen, and then I got one. I think it was in my junior year of college,
okay.
And I was there for like 5 years. So
what year was that?
2000. Oh gosh,
we gotta math it up here.
Okay, I graduated 16, so it would be 2014.
Okay.
Or 13, yeah, math.
So about 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, so I've had a little time to kind of like ease myself back into it. But a lot has gone down in that time that wasn't music related, so, you know.
Yeah, so before we did start rolling, you said you're also an artist.
Yeah.
So what kind of art do you create, and what does it kind of intertwine in worlds?
Yeah,
like music
definitely.
And art. Does it? Do you just have that creative spark every time you're working on one or the other?
It's kind of like, I don't know. Like I just live my life as like thinking that way. I think of it more as like everything I create is just like a product of my, you know, reflection of what I'm taking in and my perspective. So yeah, they do definitely kind of bounce off of one another and interact, usually in a good way. but I mostly make like ceramics, functional wares and vessels, and I'm really interested in like the touch and the communication between the user.
Right.
So I find that has definitely kind of crossed over in how I communicate, you know, messages and ideas through lyrics and the musicality of things.
Do you do any of the local shows, like when they do the random art shows?
Oh, yeah. I was like,
gallery
music
hops
shows.
And all
oh,
that stuff.
Yeah. I'm going to be selling. I do some sale things, like at the A-Frame. I'm doing that like soon. And then I've showed some stuff at I always say this wrong. If they listen to this, I hope they don't hate me. The Ingen Art Gallery. It's Ingen.
Oh, yeah.
Chris and Courtney, they're awesome people. And they always have some great shows going on. But yeah, so I showed there. And I used to show like at the Kentucky Museum when I was still in school and stuff like that. But I also showed a little bit nationally versus locally when I was in school for my art specifically.
Right.
So I'm used to kind of like a different scale, if that makes sense.
And that's a nice place, the Fine Arts Center. I mean, I walk through there just
I could talk
as
for
a
hours.
Fan. I mean,
it's beautiful.
I get to go up on campus quite a bit, and I'll just walk through there.
Yeah.
And just
like
look at everything.
Yeah.
And the best part to me is, you know, you've got I guess it's the second level where they've got a lot of display cases out.
Yeah, that's where the art galleries are.
And then if you go up to the fourth floor, there's stuff kind of scattered everywhere.
And don't forget the first floor. Where
first floor is a little ignored, but
ceramics.
Yeah.
More importantly, ceramics.
And then you walk down the third floor, and there's music everywhere.
Yeah, it's just a beautiful
building. That
building
is just a great place.
It's an engine of creativity.
Yeah, and you
know?
Feel it when you walk through those halls, and you can see it on the walls.
It's palpable.
You can hear it coming out of the rooms.
Absolutely.
It's a wonderful building. I did not attend Western.
Yeah.
But I have walked through that building for 20-something years.
I'm so glad it's still, like, there as it is. And honestly, I mean, it's like a, you know, it's a concrete. I mean, it's just like...
Oh, it's a great...
heavy,
yeah,
literal.
But yeah, it's a wonderful building. Mm-hmm. So that's cool you spent some time in there.
Yeah, 5 years. Yeah. I felt like it was my home, you know.
Yeah. I
did sleep over a few times, that's for sure.
I would think that would be a nice place to hang out.
Absolutely. Oh, I miss it.
So what, mm-hmm. how did, I mean, the worlds collide for you in a way? Like,
well,
music and art?
Yeah, if we're talking about an actual, like, fusion, I guess that would be different than, like, how I transitioned mm-hmm. out. So I can talk about that.
But if you create, like, a piece in ceramic yeah. world, does it kind of...
Like
while
resonate.
You're working on it, inspire you to write a song, or do you
not necessarily
do you write songs and get inspired to create art?
I think it's just like keeping a constant flow of some sort of creative action going. Mm-hmm. Like that's what helps me. So okay. like if I'm getting frustrated with a song and I know I have something else to turn to as an outlet,
mm-hmm.
Personally, I kind of just feel like I have to be doing something all the time, and I've had patches of my life, like since graduating especially, like where I've, you know, not had those outlets, and it's been difficult, but I've learned to like work my way through it, so I know I can, you know, get by without it.
Right.
It's not like a crutch, and I never want it to be. I want to be doing it because I want to be.
Right.
but yeah,
you don't force it, you kind of let it happen.
Yeah, but I love working, I guess. Yeah. Is what I'm trying to say. I always just like
well, there's a lot worse things in this world you can be doing, so music
true.
And art are two very good things to have.
Yeah, I'm fortunate enough to be able to do those things. I think about that a lot.
So, as far as music goes, mm-hmm. you just recently performed, I know, at the Little Fox Bakery.
Yes.
And you also, I believe, played at Tidballs
mm-hmm.
not too long ago.
Yeah.
From the time that we're taping this.
Mm-hmm.
How long have you been active in the music scene as a performing artist?
Well, yeah, I mean, really just the past couple of years because, oh, yeah, I was going to hit on that too. This definitely
we
ties in.
We skipped something,
in.
Didn't we?
Yeah, yeah, I was like, I knew I was going to forget.
And well,
this
hit
definitely
on it.
Ties in. So I was in choir
okay.
for many years, like, let's do some more math. let's see, like... 5 years, like 1 year or 2 years, maybe six, middle school and high school, all
okay.
that straight. Did a little theater,
mm-hmm.
which was interesting, but I have that performing aspect as far as those things go, and it always felt really natural. And I also did ballet, tap, and jazz for 5 years when I was younger. I was in
wow.
gymnastics for a little while. I did cheerleading. I was a softball player.
Definitely
did a
into
few
the
other
performance
things.
Yeah. And then entertainment.
I don't know
field.
What that says about me. But
it means you don't have any fear of being on stage and
I kinda
not
don't.
Only having a good time, but
I love
entertaining.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think too, like, it was really nerve-wracking when I finally, you know, a couple of years ago, just said, I'm going to strip everything else away, like
mm-hmm.
being in a group, in a choir, or in doing a, you know, performance as a theater
right,
actor.
Because everything you were doing involved.
It was all more scripted.
Like teamwork, yeah.
Exactly, and you have support
mm-hmm.
of those people, and then deciding, hey, like, I'm going to do this just by myself and, like, strip everything away was, like, terrifying at first, but, I'm really glad that I just, like, you know, jumped on the horse and and did it, because I couldn't be happier right now.
Well, what brought you to that moment?
Well, I graduated in 2016
okay.
In May from Western after, like, 5 years of undergrad, and then I got into a grad program for ceramics in Wichita, Kansas.
Oh.
And I was... struggling with a few things, like mental health stuff, which is like a common theme in my music.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that I talk about. And so I stayed there for a semester, and even like halfway through the semester, I was like, this isn't for me. Like, I gotta go home. And I had a couple family members pass away
mm-hmm.
in And my dog also passed away during that time. It was like a lot compounded. Right. And
that is called growing up.
Yeah, and it was just like, but even people I talked to were just like, dang, that was like all like in the same month.
You know
month.
What, and it's the old saying of when it rains, it pours.
Exactly.
It really does.
That's what my mom said comes during that time.
It's unfortunate, but life comes at you in waves.
Yeah,
you know, and that's testament to that.
Yeah, and I had to just figure out how I was going to respond to it and what was best for me, and it was a really difficult decision to make. But even when I first got there, I like brought this old kind of junky keyboard that I had to start trying to teach myself piano again, because I hadn't had time during all my 5 years. I mean, I was like beeline going to grad school was like the goal. And then, so I brought that and like a ukulele. I didn't have a guitar with me, but I played music as much as I possibly could, and to get me through that too, and was writing a lot during that period, and started like really cultivating kind of a lot more songs during that time.
So it was very therapeutic.
Yeah.
And to this day is really a big, strong focal point for you to go to.
Absolutely. It's like my whole life, I feel like, is just music, like, yeah. But so yeah, because of that, I decided to leave and I came back here, and I actually started making YouTube videos because I was too scared to like go out in public here first. I was like, I need some time to like let this simmer and like, you know, own my skills
a little bit. It is a thing, you have to really own it, you know.
Yeah.
And some people can just walk on stage
at
open mic and
not there.
You know, let it all hang out, and some people have to find that comfort.
Yeah.
You know.
And my music tends to be kind of, I don't want to say brutal, that's kind of like an intense word, but it tends
that
to
be
brutally
death
honest.
Metal music.
Yeah. It's like death metal, but like quiet.
Quiet death metal. I like it.
Yeah. I'm still like trying to find ways to describe my own music as
You're a singer-songgwriter, and I think
like
when
that saying,
that's usually said, it's like it instantly can go to the world of folk, or
that's usually what people think that I will be. Like pretty much 100 out of 100 times. That's all I've heard is like they're like, "Oh, do you do folk music?"
Yeah. And I think it's like, just a common thing. It's,
And I guess maybe present that way to people, like the way that I talk about things or something, you know.
Well, yeah, when it's usually just a singer with a guitar or a ukulele,
and women too, I think, are historically. Especially recently,
right.
Historically.
Unless you're screaming.
Yeah.
It's usually toned down. And
which I guess I have a little bit of that. Not like death metal screaming, but definitely.
Soft death metal.
Yes.
That's great.
That's hilarious. I'm
that's what you
that
should
down.
Go. Yeah, write that down, because that's your new way of presenting yourself.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It'll look good on a poster and it might get some attention.
Yes. That's so funny. I've never heard that either, so.
So when you got to the point where you found your comfort zone, how did you first get out there and start doing it?
Yeah, I love this story, actually. I mean, maybe it's not that interesting. Maybe it's more of like a, you know, sentimental, personal, like, oh, I love this story, but hopefully it'll be somewhat entertaining.
That's the point of this thing.
Hopefully, yeah. So I was still struggling. Like I said, that's where a lot of my music comes from. It's just, you know, those moments where you just, if something happens and you feel like, oh, like you just can't even process what's happening.
Right.
And it's just so much.
No idea how to take it in and move on.
And I was going through one of those moments, and I always forget for some reason that like I have this outlet when those things happen, because it's like a lot, and then I'm like, oh yeah, like it always happens that way where it like clicks and I'm like, oh, I can write this down,
right?
And that's how I deal with things. But so I had one of those moments and I was like, I couldn't sleep, I have somewhat of insomnia here and there, it's getting a lot better now, but so I had one of those moments and I stayed up and I kept like waking up multiple times throughout the night writing this song, and then I looked up on Facebook, like Tib Balls, because somebody had told me about it at some point, like a long time ago, and I was like, okay, like open mic, like I wonder if they're still doing that or if it's going on all the time. And it was literally like, this was a Sunday night into Monday, and they do it on every Monday, and it just happened to be, and I was like, this was so stressful of a situation to put myself into, like insert myself, but I was like, I have to do this, and I literally like wrote the whole song and like played it a million times that day, and then I like, and I had been up all night, and then I like stayed up really late and went to Tib Balls at like, I was like there early, like at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, I think,
you know,
most of them are at 9, aren't they?
Oh,
or they
well,
start maybe around rolling around 10 o'clock.
That's like the joke, is like we all think it's gonna start early, and then we're there at like, you know, 1 and 2 in the morning, right. And we're like, how did this happen every single time?
So, which Monday night host did you go to?
I think it was Ben Arnold.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
Because I know there's a rotating group.
And it's kind of switched a little bit recently. Mm-hmm. I haven't been as much, but yeah. And I'm pretty sure it was Ben. I really want to say it was Ben, because whoever it was very kind. I'm pretty sure it was Ben. And they were so nice. And like, or it might have been Blake Carwell. It was one of those two for absolute sure. They were very nice and considerate and invited me back, and but I just played my one little song and then I like got off the stage.
But that's
it was
the
really
point
weird.
Of that.
But,
that's what those are for. I mean, you can get up there with a full band and play four songs.
Love it.
You basically just everybody gets a turn.
It's so important to the scene to like allow people that space.
It's a good way to really test things.
Yeah.
Not only personal testing for yourself, but testing material in front of people.
Yeah, because like a lot of times you just don't see something as like blatantly obvious as when you're playing it in front of a crowd of people.
Well, being on a microphone through a PA, having your guitar plugged in, like it changes
so
the thing, as opposed to being in a room alone or being in a venue with a full PA with the lights. I mean, it's just the whole atmosphere will change.
All those
the
atmospheres
whole approach.
Are different.
And you go home and you reflect back on what you've done and either feel great about it and
you
make improvements.
You have some simmer time after that usually,
So obviously you go to do the open mic at Tib Balls.
Yeah.
That was your first introduction
to
performing live as a singer-songwriter.
Solo, yeah.
Obviously it went well because you've moved
on.
It's
weird, it's weird to think back about it, like, because at that time, and I'm sure even, you know, like a couple of years from now, it'll be weirder to think back, you know, of this time of like the shows that I'm doing now.
Right.
But I think it went well.
Well, apparently so, because I have caught wind of your name out there a little bit, and you are out active doing things.
Oh, gosh,
not in a grand scheme of things, you know, like a band that plays every weekend. But you've definitely off to a good start.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm getting somewhere. Like, it has been a struggle, I will say, in terms of like booking yourself as like a woman, especially a solo artist, like with not a lot of years of, or any years early of credibility.
Well, and I think that's just part of the learning part. I mean, especially around here. I mean, it's about who you know. You gotta know these people. And,
I'm learning.
But, you know, going to an event like the open mic thing is a great way to open doors.
Yeah.
And it's not about...
It definitely did.
...who's booking the bar. It's about who is playing.
Yeah.
And so when you make friends with other bands, that's your kind of way in to, as an opening artist anyway.
Yeah. I do struggle with, like, that part of things because, like, rationally I know I need to, like, be networking and pay attention to that. But I think there's
networking brings people skills.
Yeah, it does. And I learned a ton of that as a visual artist. And I think I have this tendency to want to retain the integrity. More like the purity, I guess is a good word to say, of what I'm doing and why I'm doing it.
Right.
And so...
I think the difference would be with art, you create something, you come in, you set it up.
Generally,
you display it, and then people just come in and look at it. And if you sell something, great. If you don't, they may have admired it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a done thing. With music, you're opening your soul. You're really exposing the inner side of you. And it's
at least I tried to.
Yeah, it's a whole different ballgame. So I can imagine that is kind of a night and day difference between the networking aspect.
Yeah, it's more like of a dog-eat-dog world, but at the same time, I mean, the music industry is like that in some, you know,
it's
in some
not,
circles.
Not pretty.
Depending on the level that you're at, yeah.
The good thing about our music scene, I think, and hopefully you've seen it from that this point of view, but it does seem to be pretty open-minded.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah.
The club scene.
I was so
worried
about
not even the clubs,
that.
But like the smaller things. I mentioned earlier, I caught wind of your name recently where you had played at Little Fox Bakery.
Yeah, that's so cool.
When you think about performing in places like that, some people perform at Lost River Pizza.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
Oh, yeah.
I think bands perform every now and then at just random.
Yeah, I did. I've played at like San Juan Steakhouse before, too. And
so there's a lot of places that offer people a chance to perform.
Yeah. But, and it's getting better, too.
Yeah, it's a little bit better.
I think the only thing that I really, like, want, and I know other people want, and for our music scene is, like, for house shows to be, to have a little bit more presence.
That's something I haven't touched on really in this. I know a lot of people that kind of do what you do, and they do get a lot of house shows.
Yeah.
That's a neat
thing. That's like, my favorite, honestly. Like,
I've never been in a situation to play one.
Yeah.
To me, a house show is when your band plays it in the living room at a keg party or something.
Well, yeah. Well, see, the ones that I've played at are like generally like more low key. Like, there's sometimes there's a pretty good crowd there.
I think it's a different scene of just people.
Absolutely.
It's the art scene.
It generally tends to be younger, like college kids, but. Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of us are in the mindset of, like, we really just want it to be, especially the house shows, just more inclusive of, like, all types of genres and having a diverse kind of lineup of people. So that it's a little bit, you know, there's
a
little bit for everyone.
But you're in an environment where your music's accepted.
Yeah.
You're amongst your peers.
Yeah.
You're amongst people that like what you're doing, obviously enough to have invited you to play.
Which is like satisfying, but then, you know, then applying my performance to like somewhere like Tidballs, that was really kind of scary at first. Like you were saying, like people generally tend to be open-minded, but I have a lot of...
Around here, it seems like.
I guess because of the college town.
Certain other
like,
cities and bigger cities and stuff, you know, it is really about finding the right click.
Yeah.
You know, or the right place to be.
Absolutely. Yeah. Here, it's like because maybe it is because we have fewer venues that it's like we all collectively come together to support like everyone. And there is more diversity in that sense.
There is. And I love where we are.
Yeah.
Where we are actually sitting right now.
It's,
when it rains and Matt can't have bands outside, Mellow Matt's has bands inside.
Yeah.
And we are sitting.
In the stage
The band performing area.
Yes.
There have been a lot of great performances.
I've only caught one before.
Who have you seen?
Kinsey Crow and the Flaming Hots. Yes. It was awesome. I didn't get to
fantastic.
Talk to them or anything, but they seem like really cool people.
They're really cool people. Their dad, Kevin, back last summer, in summer of 2018, he had like a job. He couldn't do a show that they had scheduled in Scottsville.
Oh, yeah.
And they called me and said, hey, can you play drums for us tomorrow night? I had literally a day to learn the songs.
Oh, my gosh.
And I played the show. So I got to play with... I was a Flaming Hot for one show.
For one show. Did you get some commemorative merch?
Well, I guess so. I got stickers and a t-shirt. Yeah.
That's awesome.
They're great. I absolutely love that band. So back to you and your story in music. So a few years now, so to speak, literally, like you said, it's been about almost 2 years that you've been performing.
Yes.
How is it going and what are you doing?
Yeah.
Aside from the shows we've talked about.
Yes. Yeah,
do you have anything coming up?
Yeah, I do. I am actually doing, what is my next show? Well, we're doing a little tour, which is called the Primavera Tour. It's a little spring tour at the end of March. And so we'll be starting in Louisville. We'll have a Thursday release show at Tidballs.
Great.
And that's for my EP that's coming out, so we can touch on that if you're interested.
Well, I'm trying to think. This episode will air in April.
Yeah, so after the release.
Okay,
probably
so
like
this will
right
be...
after a couple okay. weeks. Yeah, so, and then we'll play, let me get these dates right, Evansville, and then that's on a Friday. Saturday, we're playing Henderson, which is right across the
yep.
water from that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm learning all these places, coordinating with my friend Laura King Neville from Evansville.
Okay.
So she and I are going on the tour together. People Proof, the local band.
Yes.
We're going to play a couple shows with them.
Cool.
I think Louisville and... Bowling Green for sure, Tidballs, and maybe Evansville.
Okay.
And then we're going to end, do a double day. We're going to play Carbondale, Illinois, mm-hmm. and Murray, Kentucky.
Yeah.
In the same day. That's, so at a little record store in Murray.
Doable. That's yeah. not too hard to pull off.
No, yeah. I'm so excited. And then after that, the next one that I can think of is Take Back the Night at the end of April.
Oh, yeah.
I think I have a couple more in early April, but that's,
oh, that's
the bigger
cool.
one. At the A-Frame will be that one.
And that's
yeah.
a very important show.
Yes, I was absolutely honored for them to ask me to play.
Yeah, that's cool.
I'm
that's
really
cool.
stoked to play that, yeah.
So your music has meaning.
I
like
try.
You said earlier about it being like therapeutic, but it's also
yeah.
about... helping you
and others is hopefully
and other, yeah
the
you're brave
goal.
Enough to write these songs
yeah.
and put them out there mm-hmm. in hopes to not only it's helping you but you're also helping others.
Yeah, I think of it as like how we said like it's therapeutic for me and like how I said when you have those really hard days or you know experiences you're going through
mm-hmm.
That's that outlet for me to get it out of my system because I personally like feel like I have to do
right.
that. Like I have to like get the toxins
but it,
almost
it
out.
Really says a lot about you, but it also shows that music
mm-hmm.
is that powerful. And
yeah.
it really is. I mean
yeah.
it's something
it blows
that
me
is
away
just,
every
it's
day.
Magical and mm-hmm. it's a very big deal to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And they turn to music,
mm-hmm.
thankfully, without turning to other things.
Yeah.
And so...
Sometimes simultaneously.
You never know. I think a lot of people can write songs. And I've heard stories over the years of
mm-hmm.
random bands and artists that have fans come up and say, I can't tell you how much that song meant to me.
It's
just
a, really
a total stranger
crazy
can
feeling.
Walk up to them and that song changed my life. That song helped me through this... moment in my life and
yeah
I don't think as the one who wrote it the one who doesn't know this person
yeah
I don't think you'll ever be able to put yourself in their shoes to truly
mm-hmm.
understand what they were going through.
Oh yeah, totally.
But at least you get a taste of some sort of
yeah there's a dissonance
you,
of experience
you know?
but yeah ultimately it's like hopefully there's some universality to what
well,
you're
that's
writing.
What you're doing.
I try
so
to. I hope to. I think
up.
Of it as, like I said, like the toxins coming out of me, but then forming it and shaping it, which I do think about ceramics when I'm thinking about that sort of thing. The way that I personally touch it to form it,
mm-hmm.
as if, you know, every ceramic piece is going to look different, just
right.
like a song. And I think of that as like my way of projecting it in a way that can be helpful.
Right.
And not just, you know, because I get a lot out of my head that isn't going to be a song, too. You know, it's about picking and choosing. And
I mean, it really...
Yeah, what can be helpful, hopefully.
It can... It's deep. It's really deep stuff, you know?
Yeah.
musically speaking, you... When you do perform...
Yeah.
Do you play just guitar? Or have you incorporated other instruments?
So, I actually just finally got a new keyboard. I've been... waiting to get one of those because I usually go to FAC and
mm-hmm.
play the pianos.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I shouldn't say that.
There's a whole hallway of them.
Yeah, I think they're like technically not supposed to let other people in there, but I've been doing it for like 6 years now or more, honestly. But that's how I learned. Like when I didn't have the guitar,
mm-hmm.
I did that in the meantime a little bit as well. But yeah, so I play piano and... mostly electric guitar.
Okay. That's cool because most people,
telly,
I think,
yeah.
would play an acoustic.
Yeah.
Do you actually play electric?
Mm-hmm.
Do
I
you
prefer
use
it.
Certain pedals or anything in that nature with your music?
I love pedals. Oh gosh, I'm gonna really try not to derail
myself. Do you have one of the
gigantic,
like 3 foot?
I don't.
Pedal boards?
I have my own pedal board that I DIY built out of like one piece of $8 wood that I got from the store. I was like, I designed it exactly so I'd only have to buy one piece.
Hey, you know what?
Money.
I've seen those things at Guitar Center. They're expensive.
They're ridiculous.
Home Depot's
expensive.
The better place to make guitar pedal
I
board.
Love building stuff. In my art background, I was like, I can't justify this. But
there's a band I love out of New York City called High Waisted.
Uh-huh.
And their lead singer, Jessica, has a pedal board, but it is a skateboard with no wheels. And so that's
so
her pedal
cool.
board. And it was so cool. Well, the first time I saw them play, I took a picture of just
so
the pedal board
cool.
before they came out.
Yeah.
I was like, that is the coolest thing.
Yeah, I love looking at other musicians' pedal boards, and maybe I creep out some of them, but hopefully on the like whole, I don't really.
Well,
creep
no,
them.
I mean, I think most musicians love talking about
gear
and stuff, so that's the best way to get in with a lot of those people.
I definitely am lacking in like a knowledge on a lot of gear, but that's not to say that I don't love
well,
talking about it.
Being self-taught's the better way to go.
Yeah,
and
I
you
have
can
a lot
just kind of watch and learn other people and pick up on things. But
yeah, that's totally
thanks
what
to
I've
YouTube,
done.
You can pretty much pull up anything
oh, gosh.
Out there.
I watch so many gear videos on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's
I
ridiculous.
Have been lately. I get on the Fender channel and look
okay.
at how they build them. And
do you have other favorite like pedal channels or anything
Pedal-wise, I'm not big on. I'm more into watching how they build the instruments.
Okay. I have seen like a couple of those Fender videos.
It's neat.
Like the new one, I think.
And like the custom shop
one of
stuff.
The new ones. Yeah, yeah.
What do you play?
Yeah, I play a, oh my gosh, I'm going to get the name wrong, Deluxe Nashville Telecaster.
Oh, the Nashville brand Telecaster.
Well,
the company's Nashville, right? That's the name of the
company?
Oh, no,
it's, I need to look into that because I don't even know that, but it's a Fender.
Oh, it is a Fender.
Yeah, but it's called a Deluxe Nashville. It's
I just
like a
know that there's a brand out there now, I think, called Nashville. But maybe
really
I'm
cool.
wrong about that. I'm going to have to do my own homework
that
on that, too.
No.
But I've seen some people on stage with guitar and the headstock say Nashville
that's
on
that's really cool.
But I know what you're
that
talking
was,
about is
yeah.
the Fender brand,
mm-hmm.
but it's the Nashville like edition or whatever.
Yeah, made in Mexico.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So
you play a Telecaster.
Yeah,
okay.
I like that, but it has this, this one has another pickup, a Strat pickup in the middle.
Oh.
They're all noiseless pickups, but
so it has three pickups?
Yeah, it has
that's
a
cool.
five-way switch, which I don't really get a lot of use out of, like, mm-hmm. every single in-between switch, but it is useful for certain things, especially covers, to, like, own mm-hmm. in on a specific sound.
So you've got a Tele with three pickups,
mm-hmm.
but you also have pedal board.
Yeah.
Obviously, I think I'm just the common thing is to hear someone.
Mm-hmm.
I have an acoustic guitar and I write songs.
Yeah.
You're more in the realm of like the sounds help write the songs, and you're really creative.
Telling a story is kind of
like
what
soundscape.
I,
you're really good at that.
I like that you said really creative because I think of myself as just extremely picky. I'm like, I have to get this exact sound. Like, how do I achieve this sound?
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I
it's
can go
ones
off
that
the deep
can never
end
find
a
it.
Bit.
And never find
well,
happiness.
Well, can you ever find, anything? Like
it's like, you just have to settle and go with that sound.
That's my least favorite word, settling. No, I mean, to an extent and, like, in a certain frame of time.
Yeah.
But
you've written, how many songs would you have right now? Quite a few?
Well,
because I need to get
mean
to the
fully like I would be able to
like when you perform
right
a show
now.
What do you normally do?
I have a set that's probably like I change a lot, but it's probably 45 minutes long ish or so, depending, because I finally have this new keyboard so I can go back and play my older piano songs.
Okay.
Because a lot of times I would just write all of these at FAC, practice when I could, and then play on this really old, like, $20 junky keyboard from a yard sale. That was, like, all I had. And it was terrible. I didn't even have a sustain pedal for a while, and it was awful.
Well, you gotta get started somehow.
Yeah, and I'm glad that I have what I did. For
it's
sure.
all the cool thing about music, I think, as a musician and a writing musician, is that graduating aspect.
Oh, yeah, I'm enjoying every second of it.
Start off with something cheap and not so good, and then you get something else.
Yeah. It's the kind of a ladder. The progression shows that you're dedicated in a way too, I feel like.
So the other question, obviously, that I usually get to towards the end of these things is, have you released anything?
Well, yeah, I'm about to release an EP, which has 4 songs on it. But I released, I still struggle to should I say this? I don't want people to find it. And I have taken it off Spotify, so sorry you can't find it anymore. If you were one of the, if maybe you would consider yourself lucky people, I don't know, people to get one of the demo CDs that I made. I still have a few, but they're under lock and key.
So you don't have anything available online right now?
I have stuff on YouTube.
YouTube?
Again, I don't necessarily like to broadcast that. But because it's just embarrassing. I'm not someone who's should be in front of the camera. I do photography
I guess in a way, but this is still a new world kind of for you, you know?
Yeah, I approached it very unorthodoxly.
But you're approaching it.
Yeah.
And that's what matters.
You know what?
You're actually working,
you're so right.
And you're working towards a goal that may not be laid out for you just yet, but at least you're doing something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the EP comes out on March 28th, as of right now. I should say at that date.
No, that's okay, because this should air after that. So
yeah.
Make sure you bring some here to Mellow Matt's Music and More.
I would absolutely love that.
And stock the shelves, because this is the epitome place in town to have local music section.
That honestly just makes my life, to have, my music at,
And don't forget, when you do release that, you can contact Matt and probably set up a CD release kind of performance in here.
That would be amazing. Oh, write that
down. Aren't you glad you did this?
Yes. No, I'm over the moon. I'm totally, totally enjoying our conversation.
But you definitely want to get out there and get that in the hands of the local radio guys.
Yeah.
And you want to get Tommy Starr and Bratcher to have copies of these. And you want to get hard copies in here to Matt's digital uploads and all that stuff. So anyone out there listening to this podcast can just basically search for Sis.
Yes.
And they will find you, and they will find your music.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully they will find something in it that is very, not only entertaining, but maybe very helpful.
Yeah, I hope to be able to help people through it. That's S-I-S.
S-I-S.
If that's helpful for searching. Yeah.
Well, before we wrap this up, I do always like to ask people if there's anything locally speaking that they're into, that they're a fan of. You mentioned Kinsey Crow and the Flaming Hots.
Yes.
Who else out there in the Bowling Green music scene right now are you a fan of?
Oh, yeah. Well, my friend's Vans, for sure. People Proof.
People Proof, yeah.
Yeah, Summer Graves is awesome person. All those people are just amazing people. And then Full Frontal Saurus, I was going to say, they also have their CD here at Mellow Matt's.
And you opened for them not too long ago, is that right? At Tidballs?
For their release party, That was a great show. That was really a lot of fun. They're great people. They're just so dedicated to music and working on stuff. And Kinsey Crow as well. I'm trying to think. There's so many people.
It's a tough game.
But those are my favorites at the moment for sure.
And as far as the future is in store, like you said, you're gonna have your own EP out soon.
Yes.
Are you just gonna continue to try and get as many opening, obviously, you can do performances on your own if you wanted to, but
I'd
love to be out in the clubs and everything, are you going to continue to do that?
Absolutely, yeah. I hope to be able to eventually headline and play with friends, still, is how I think of it, is all collectively playing together.
We're all friends.
But yeah, I do hope to be able to play longer sets.
Right.
It's kind of the goal. And Well, yeah,
the important thing is you have
too.
A goal.
Yeah,
and you're
exactly.
aiming for it. So
yeah,
there you go.
Yeah. Also, just want to say thank you to the people who have been helping me with my EP. So I've been recording with Max Erskine, and he's incredible.
Yes.
Everyone around him that's been supporting me and helpful too. And then Laura Harper Knight, who is in Full Frontalsaurus, the
yes.
cellist. She's been playing. We just wrapped up last night, actually, doing some cello work, and she
awesome.
Was incredible. So yeah, I can't wait for everybody to hear the music. I can't wait to hear the final mixes
yeah,
myself.
You're kind of excited
so.
Too.
Yeah, exactly. But thank you. Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I really enjoy talking to you.
I appreciate you doing this. And anyone out there listening, just check out Sis and her music and her art.
Yeah.
And everything you've got to offer.
Yes. Thank you so much, Dean.
Thank you.